90.7 FM, Los Angeles 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and for the world at www.kpfk.org. Support free speech and freeform radio. Peace.
Cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH. This is the Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday here on KPFK 90.7 FM for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined by our Orange County Bureau Chief, a member of the Motor Press Guild, a practicing attorney, and an owner of two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8. Michelle Spencer, welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. How's it going? Glad to be here again with you to talk about all the things happening in the car capital of the world.
It is the car capital of the world. It is sunny. It is wonderful. The rest of the country is hunkering down, burrowing into their burrows for winter, digging their igloos, and we continue to go out and have fun with cars. So I just got back, as you might know, from SEMA, and boy, are my arms tired. No, I had a wonderful time there. It was actually quite nice this time. It's always nice. I mean, the SEMA people, they really do a lot to get it going. So we are going to get into that a little bit later in the show. We'll bring you all the news from SEMA, or, you know, all the news that I saw. It's impossible to see. I think there's 2 million square feet. I'm just rounding up there, but I think it's 2 million square feet of floor space at the Las Vegas Convention Center. So we'll show you some of the, or we'll talk about some of the cool builds I saw. My favorite, you know what my favorite was? We'll talk about this later. A Mitsubishi Delica with a Cummins turbo diesel in it. So,
oh, wow.
We'll get to that. But as you know, we always start the show off with our calendar section. So you know what's going on here. Again, we implore you, if you are having an event and you want to publicize it and you have made a cool little flyer with a great drawing of a car or whatever you have on that flyer, also put on it what, when, and where. Almost nobody does that. I think there was one that I found in the last week, one that had what, when, and where. I mean, I have to do all this research tracking this down. Half the time the flyer's for some event in Baltimore or something. I don't know. So anyway, okay, enough complaining. If you don't hear it here, go to the website, SoCalCarCulture.com. I guarantee you they will have something happening in your neck of the woods, in your neighborhood, in your city, almost every day or night of the week. So that's a cool source. Right now, we're thinking, what are we thinking, Michelle? We're thinking drag racing?
We are, and we're thinking the weather is going to be awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
Awesome for drag racing. So you need to get yourself out to the Winter Nationals in Pomona, which is the final race of the NHRA season. So this
That's
is
right.
it. They're going to crown champions. It all comes down to Pomona at the In-N-Out Burger Pomona Drag Strip.
That's not this weekend. That is next weekend,
next
right?
Weekend.
November 14th to 17th. And as they say in the ads, every ticket is a pit pass. So in between the pro runs, it always kind of funny. The stands just empty out. The poor guys who are like the amateurs, the sportsman classes, everybody leaves and they go walk through the pits. But it's cool in the pits. If you have one, bring a surplus gas mask. And when they fire up those cars in the pits and the nitromethane fumes are pouring out and everybody else is crying and running away screaming, you just stand there smiling inside your gas mask. It's always fun to see those guys. They also set up, autographs throughout the pits. For John Force, everybody's hero. He'll be there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he will. He's out of rehab. He's wearing a brace on his left hand. He will be able to shake with his right hand and sign things. And his daughter's racing. So he was out in Vegas, and now he'll be out here in Pomona.
Right. Brittany, she won in Vegas, I believe, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and they were that was delayed by a day.
Oh, yeah.
So because of a massive oil down. I mean, this was like Exxon Valdez type oil down. I think that the guy went who the guy who did it went across both lanes, and it was a mess.
Yeah, go big or go home.
Yeah, so, if you're gonna do an oil down.
Ooh.
Remember when they changed they added a rule saying that if you have an oil down, they dock points off of you or something. So they were serious about it then. And now things are a little bit better because you don't hear about too many oil downs in NHRA, at least not as many as they used to have.
Yeah.
And, boy, they had a big one. So let's hope for no oil downs in Pomona, right?
Right. And so if you want your passes, you can get a 3-day pass to, you know, one or one ticket for each day. If you just want to go like Friday and then Sunday or something like that, you can mix it up, but go to NHRA.com for your tickets.
All right. And also check out if you want to go the other direction, go to scta-bni.org. That's Southern California Timing Association, Bonneville Nationals International. They're going to be doing land speed racing at El Mirage. Again, be sure and check with the website before you head all the way out there. But November 9th and 10th, they're going to be out at El Mirage, which is an experience you should see. Mm-hmm. No matter how much you're into cars, you should see that at least once. And El Mirage is only about an hour and a half drive away from LA, maybe an hour. It's but not bad.
Yeah, just make sure that weather conditions are okay, no fire hazards, etc.
That's right. But be sure, we implore you, I don't want you hating us more than you already do. Go to scta-bni.org and just verify that everything's cool and they're all going out there. Another fun thing tomorrow, all Chevy vintage car show, Sunday, November 10th at Community Chevrolet 200 West Olive Burbank, not far from the KPFK studios. As a matter of fact, Burbank Vintage Chevrolet Club of America. They will have a Hot Wheels track. They will give awards and trophies. Go to yourchevy.com. We got something at Lions Automobile Foundation, right?
Well, yeah, this is a Thursday night. All right. At 5 o'clock.
Thursday night. Yep.
Thursday, November 14th.
Yeah.
Down at Rancho Dominguez in the South Bay at Lions Automobilia Foundation and Museum Hall of Fame. They're going to be honoring a new class of hot rod and drag racing heroes.
That'll be fun.
So
it's always fun down there. And the museum itself is, I'm embarrassed to say I've yet to make it down there. Dar Hawthorne, our buddy, is constantly calling me up saying, why don't you come down? Well, okay, I'll be there. I'll be there one of these days. But it's a cool museum. It was founded to recreate Lions Drag Strip back in the 70s, which was a local drag strip, as I'm sure you know. It was a lot of stuff going on at that facility. Lots of good drag racing back in the old days. So the next one is all you, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Well, big Rotary gathering of the year. This is the biggest Rotary gathering that I know of. It's called Seven Stock. It's kind of a crazy name, but the inspiration was Woodstock for RX-7s. So the name Seven Stock kind of stuck, and you know, now we're stuck with it. However, it's more than just RX-7s. We've got our RX-8s, which is what I have. And then, of course, we go back way to the beginning, to the 70s, or even if you want to bring a Cosmo or something from the 60s. It's all there.
How about an NSU? What if I want to buy an NSU and bring it?
You should get your NSU Vunkel over there.
And a Suzuki rotary motorcycle. Maybe yes. Jay Leno will show up. He has a couple of rotary motorcycles, I think.
Yeah, and he also, he actually has the same RX-8 that I do.
Ooh,
and, I didn't know that. Mazda gave it to him. It's 2005.
Yeah.
And so it's in that unique black cherry color.
Nice.
It's in the garage right next to his red Miata from his brother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know a lot picture. About this.
Well, I got to go. I toured the museum once with his docent, Bob.
Oh, good.
He thought I was crazy because my favorite car was this French car that was in the back behind the Bugattis. So,
which French car?
I don't remember what it was.
You can't remember? Was it one of those 1930s coach built things that you see?
It? Oh, it was, yeah. It was Art Deco from top to bottom, and I just went nuts over it. Yeah.
Okay. I was lucky enough to go there about a month ago, maybe. No, it was less than that. A few weeks ago, I went, and there was an announcement that there was yet another outlet for his videos, and I went there to cover that, and so I got another walk around through there. And
I know it's nice to go once a year, I think.
Yeah, you know, every now and then something bubbles up and you get to go, and it's just a blast. It's
worth it. So, yeah, maybe he'll bring one of his rotaries, or maybe he even has an NSU stashed in there somewhere that he'll show up with.
Yeah, so that's speculation on our part, folks. We're not saying he's going to be there.
Yeah.
Michelle will be there.
I will be there, and it's the 26th year of Seven Stock. It is going to be, I've lost count now, but I think it's like my 12th year of taking the Ocho, which is my RX-8. We have on the agenda for this year, Mazda will bring the vintage rotary race cars. They won't be on the track. They are only going to be on display, and they'll fire them up, but they're not going to drag race them or put them on, you know, the racetrack for exhibition. They've done that in the past, but they aren't doing it this year. But we will have them on display from Mazda.
So will there be like the 767, the Le Mans type prototypes?
Yeah, exactly. Neat. The ones that they have, the historical race cars. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They'll have that one and some RX-7s that are historical race cars. And they also have some other, you know, one-offs, and sometimes they bring things from their secret garage that didn't get into development, but just are fun to see. And you have to register if you're still wanting to go. It's not too late, but you do have to register.
If you're going to show your car, you have to register, right? You don't have to register to just go and look.
You do have to register to go spectate. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's good news.
It's $25 to go. So you go to tickets.thefoat, which is TheFoat.com. So $25 admission to spectate, $40 to show your ride. And then if you want to drag race, which I don't want to do because I'm afraid I'll crash my car.
I'll drive for you and I'll crash it.
$60, Mark.
We're going to get into insurance later in the show.
It's only $60. And this is one of the last events at Irwindale.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later too. Yes. Michelle has more information about that.
Yeah, I do. So
all the more reason to get out and see the last couple of events at Irwindale.
Saturday, November 16th.
This next one is yours too, right? The Moon Eyes thing?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there's a documentary about the Moon Eyes people and how they came to be and their story. It's called The Craft of Speed. And so this is a movie. It's going to be screened live on Saturday, November 16th. At the Severstrom Shelby Event Center down here in Irvine at 1:30. So after they screen the movie, they're going to have the director on site, Ming Lei, and Matt Stone will also be there. Remember Matt Stone?
Our journalist. Buddy.
Yeah. Doyle Gammell. And Doyle was on the team that built the first Shelby Cobra at Moon Equipment Company.
Wow. That guy's got to be old, doesn't he? I mean, that was like 1962 or something when they built that.
They found him. So he'll be there.
Good for him.
Yeah. So if you want to go to this event down here in Irvine to see this movie and talk with the director and Mr. Gammell, I hope I'm saying his name properly, go to Eventive, eventive.org to get your tickets. If you can't make it on the 16th, they're going to have some online screenings starting on the 17th. And if you want info on those, you have to go to craftofspeed.com.
And speaking of Moon Eyes, the Moon Eyes Xmas Party Show and Drag Race, also at Irwindale, is coming up December 7th. That is a blast. Always a good time. So many cool cars there. There's lead sleds and bombs and hot rods, and there's also, in the past, there's also been drag racing. So both going on, both good Moon Eyes events coming up that you must go see. Now, another thing that you might not, maybe it's not a must go see, I don't know, depends how popular it is, the Formula One race returns to Las Vegas November 21st and 23rd. You can get a Thursday night ticket starting at $99, or you can spend like $1 million or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Would you ever want to do that, Michelle? What do you think?
I would. I'm waiting for some sort of hot race guy to ask me to go and stay.
Maybe Lewis Hamilton will call you.
Yeah, at their suite for the weekend, right?
Yeah.
So I was saying Fontainebleau Resorts World and MGM hotels are love bombing my inbox like a desperate ex with these promo packages. Okay. So if you want to do MGM, and see, this is the thing I said about this last year, whatever hotel group you like, hit them up. They have packages. All of the strip hotels have packages. So the MGM Paddock Club, that is actually sold out at 16,000 plus per person.
Wow.
Bellagio Fountain Club has a package, and I think it's still available for 12,500 a person. Or if you want a slum, you can get three nights at the Cosmopolitan for 5,000, and that includes your main grandstand tickets.
Well,
just a couple examples.
Distance. Walking mm-hmm. distance, right? Yeah.
And they'll have all kinds of hospitality suites, special events, special dinners. I know at the Resorts World, they're setting up a K1 circuit in their parking lot.
Wow.
Just for this weekend.
So you can go see it. Mm-hmm. You can see it and race.
Yes.
Okay.
It's there's just, like I say, hit up your favorite restaurant, your favorite hotel group, and find out what's available if you're interested in going. And this is the second year, supposedly, of a 10-year contract. Sales are down from last year. This is the word from my Vegas connection.
Uh-huh.
So you should be able to get good deals. If you were put off by the prices last year, try again.
Yeah. Well, I just remember when I was a kid, the Long Beach Grand Prix was such a huge deal. It was like magical. And we went over there and just looked through the fence and, wow, there's so-and-so. There's Carlos Reutemann or Nigel Mansell, or I don't know, who were the great drivers of the day?
Rick Mears.
No, he wasn't Formula One.
Oh, no, I was thinking IndyCar.
Oh, you're thinking of kart, yeah, because you're more of a kart fan than F1, mm-hmm. I think. So, yeah. But anyway, let's see if the magic continues here at
Vegas.
In Vegas, the Heineken Silver Las Vegas Grand Prix, November 21. To 23. What else do we have? We have a 2.5 minutes here.
We got the LA Auto Show.
LA Auto Show, November 22nd to December 1st, LA Convention Center. For information, go to laautoshow.com. And was this your, did you write all this up, Michelle?
I did, yes.
Go for it.
Press release from the auto show said, this year we'll offer an unmatched range of test ride and drive experiences. They're going to have 40 plus different models in this lineup. So gas vehicles, hybrid vehicles, and EVs. They're actually going to do city drives around the convention center if you want to do that. And I do have a list of the vehicles that they have available for that. A bunch of Volvos, the Subarus, almost all of them, Jeep Wrangler, Great Gladiator, Grand Wagoneer, Ram 2500 and 1500, the Dodge Hornet, the Dodge Durango, Fiat 500E, and the Chrysler Pacifica. And then you might know about Electric Avenue. Those are all the electric cars that are available for ride and drives. Cadillac Lyriq is on the list, the Rivian R1T and R1S, Chevy Silverado, Blazer, and Equinox, the VinFast, that's the Vietnamese maker. They have a VF8 in that. Kia has their EV9, EV6, and Lucid has their Air available.
Okay. That's a pretty good selection of cars. And you can drive all of those just for the price of admission, right? And it's the price is actually pretty affordable, I think, for the LA Auto Show.
Yeah, you don't have to pay extra to do these ride and drives. It's included.
Yeah. What is the price? Do you happen to know that?
I think, well, no, I don't actually. They don't have it in the press
release. I'll look it
up
while you keep talking.
Yeah, so let me talk about this Camp Jeep. Okay, now Camp Jeep was supposed to be there, and then Stellantis pulled the plug at the last minute. It was either last year or the year before. Well, it's back. So there's going to be a professional driver taking you on Camp Jeep ride along, and they're going to have an obstacle course set up for that. And then to piggyback, Ford has jumped into the game. Ford is going to have something called Bronco Built Wild Rides. And this will be an indoor and outdoor off-road inspired course. This is the first time they've had this at the LA Auto Show. And so
okay, tickets are Monday through Thursday. Tickets are $24 a person, and any day tickets are $28 a person. But if you're 65 plus like me, $16. So, take that out of your monthly stipend from your railroad pension or whatever pension you're getting. Any day ticket for kids 6 to 12 is only $11. So, bring the whole family.
Yeah. And did you know that this auto show started in 1907, Mark?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. No, but I'm saying, yeah, like that's cool.
It's wild. It's one of the oldest car shows in the country.
Yeah. And they have those historical photos of the show.
Yeah. I love that.
All the way there. Yeah.
It's kind of so cool how they do that every year. I like that.
Back.
Yeah. So that's the new stuff for this
show.
We're
out of time for the news. So
we are.
Scroll down to we're out of time for the calendar. We're scrolling down to the news. So what should we start with? Should we start with the SEMA show?
Right. Should we start with the good news? The fun news.
Yeah, I'll just quickly go over some of the stuff that I saw there. I was there as a guest of Toyota. Thank you, Toyota. And they took over the space formerly taken by Ford in the central hall there. It's sort of like the marquee space. It overlooks the whole hallway, and they had that packed with a bunch of cool stuff. They had a couple of SUV-based concepts there, and they were quite nice, I thought. Plenty of them. Some of them would none of them are actually announced for production, but some of them look like they could have been produced. Let's see, I'm scrolling down here. They had 10 concepts in total. They had a Supra that was done up like a Richard Petty livery. Remember Richard Petty had that high-winged car? What was it? The Dodge Charger, of course, with the big wing, the Superbird.
I thought that was a Plymouth.
Okay, Plymouth. Sorry, you are right. You are right. Thank goodness we have you here on this show. Stop me from saying dumb. Plymouth Superbird. Well, so what they did here was Rutledge Wood, the TV personality, was sort of in charge of building this Supra Bird, which is a Toyota Supra with a wing on the back, and it's painted in Petty blue with the number 43 on both doors. That looked kind of cool. They also had a GR86 Rally Legacy concept. As you remember, it was like 20 or 30 years ago in WRC, Toyota was really doing quite well. They had the ST185 and the ST205 Celica GT4 Rally vehicles, the rally cars. And so what they've done is they take yet another GR86 and they got it powertrain swap with the 3-cylinder turbocharged GR4 all-wheel drive drivetrain from the GR Corolla. So that was kind of cool. That and the Super Bird. Then they had something called the Land Cruiser Rocks. So the Land Cruiser, of course, is one of their more popular kind of higher priced SUVs, and they redid it completely and made it sort of like a roofless thing, sort of an open topped, a tribute to the iconic open air, open top Land Cruiser models of the past. And that one, Calte Chief Kevin Hunter said, and I quote, "It could possibly have potential to be a production model." So Maybe there'll be an open top Land Cruiser out there in your future. What else did we have? They had a 94 Toyota drift truck, which was pink. Anybody remember the 1970s? The mini trucks were the big thing. So, you know, this one is kind of along those lines.
How fun.
Kind of cool. And then they had a RAV4, a RAV-X concept, they called it, showing that even a RAV4 can be cool. And then my favorite, I think, among all these was the 4Runner TRD Surf concept. And they took a four-door SUV and basically made it into an open-topped, I don't know, what would you call it?
Like a surf wagon.
Surf wagon. And they, in fact, had three surfboards there. Uh-huh. So, you know, it was the original one had two doors and a fiberglass upper body. And that was actually made by the original one way back in, I think it was 1981. It says Winnebago. They were made by Winnebago for a Wisconsin Toyota dealer who missed the FJs. And so those were quite popular. And this is sort of a harkens back to that. So, and then there were a few others, but you know, not all actually one of them, a Tacoma TRD Pro Runner race concept. So they took a Tacoma and along with Jimmy Johnson, who actually took his driving test in a Tacoma, well, not Tacoma, a Toyota, I guess at the time it would have been a Hilux pickup truck. It was his uncle's truck, and that's where he started out as a driver. Little known bit of trivia for you there.
Wow. And
it's got Jimmy Johnson's signature. It says number 84 on the side. So that was kind of cool.
Ah.
And then let's see what else. Nissan had a bunch of concepts there. The most interesting of those was probably they had two of them based on the Frontier. And let's see here. It was called the Frontier Tarmac concept. And that was done in conjunction with three-time Formula Drift champion Chris Forsberg, along with Nissan Motorsports and Nissan Design. That looked really cool. As you recall from about, I think it was about the 1980s or so, maybe the 90s too, there were sport trucks on the market for manufacturers. So this is sort of a, you know, throwback to those days. It looks kind of cool. 440 horsepower from a 3.8 liter supercharged V6. That was cool. What else did they have? They had a few others. But and then, of course, as I said, my favorite from the whole show was a Mitsubishi Delica. Remember the Delica? It was like a micro minivan. This one was four-wheel drive. It was jacked up, and they had swapped in a Cummins turbo diesel into this thing, and it just looked really cool. It cost almost $300,000 to do this, according to the guy who built it. And he said that most of that price was labor because his shop charges, I think, $300 an hour for labor. So remember that. He's in Auburn, California. It's called Customs, the letters FN, and then Customs. So .com. So you can go to that website, customsfncustoms.com, and see some pictures of that. That was kind of cool. There was one car, Miata. You like Miatas, don't you?
A little.
It had, this Miata was parked outside of the central hall, and it was gathering huge crowds. It was one of those things where the engine swap was so big that they had to cut the hole in the hood to get the top of the engine and two other holes put in to accommodate the turbochargers. And the valve covers that this guy put on there were Lamborghini valve covers. So it led you to assume that there was a Lamborghini V10 underhood in this thing. And I took some guys I was with over to look at it. And I said, look, it's a Lamborghini. And this other guy who was standing there, he looked under and he could see a few things inside. There's very little room to actually see in there. And he said it was a small block Chevy.
Uh-huh.
So you never know what you're going to get. Yeah. Well, you know, life's a box of chocolates. You know,
it did. And that Miata looked really cool. And it was the same color as my Miata. Light blue. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that light blue color.
Oh, yep.
Okay. Well, anyway, does yours have a Lamborghini V10?
Not yet.
It's going to get swapped.
But here's the thing. Isn't it going to become airborne? I mean, it's a, what is it? A 1,000 pound car.
Well, you got to think that there have been Miata V8 swaps for decades. There was a company here in Southern California doing it, 25 years ago. So it's been done, and I guess they've sort of figured it out. And from what I recall, I haven't driven one in a long, long time, but I think all you have to do is to increase the spring rates on the front end. But I'm sure there's more to it than that. But it can be done. So a small block Chevy could probably fit in there. Do I know? So,
well, it would be a fun car to try out.
It would be a fun car to try out. So that was SEMA in a nutshell. We have much more information. Michelle has actually done what we call research on a couple more stories. What do you have for us, Michelle?
I have some news that's going to change your auto insurance if you are at 1530 policy limits. In California, we have a law that requires insurance when you drive. So if you get pulled over, you have to show your proof of insurance card to the officer, right?
Right.
Well, you might notice if you look at your card, there are no policy limits on there. However, when you get ready for your insurance renewal next year, you need to take a look if you are 1530, which is the minimal requirement under the California Financial Responsibility Act. It's going to double on January 1st. So you now have to have $30,000 per person and $60,000 per occurrence. So that means like if two people got hurt, the maximum that you have for coverage for bodily injury is $60,000, right?
Can I ask a question? Given today's litigious society and the cost of medical care and the cost of just about everything, that's woefully inadequate, isn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Of course. And this is what I deal with every day is, do we have enough insurance coverage? And I work for several different insurance companies, and a lot of people still have the minimum because it's expensive. It is not enough for most accidents for bodily injury. And this same amount has been in effect since 1974 in California.
That's ridiculous.
So it is way overdue to have an increase in the minimal amount of coverage.
But our government is doing something, right?
They actually enacted this in 2022, but the insurance companies begged for time to do some calculations and adjustments and figure out how they were going to implement this. And here's the thing. It goes into effect January 1st, 2025. If you have more than 1530, don't worry about it. You're good. But if you are a minimal limits person, your insurance company is going to automatically raise your rate and raise your coverage with your next renewal. Now, is this going to make everyone's rates go up? Probably. Yes, it will. Because it's going to cost the insurers more money to cover all these losses. So it will go up. Another thing is, even if you're not at 1530, you need to look at your policy and make sure that you have what they itemize as underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage. Because a lot of people still don't have enough insurance. And you want to make sure that if you get hit by somebody who's at fault and they only have 1530 and they give you the 15 or the 30, depending on how many people are in your car for their injuries, you can go to your own insurance company and recoup the rest. So if you have, you know, $80,000 worth of medical treatment or more than the 15, you can actually make a claim with your own insurance and say, okay, this insurance company with the guy that hit me, they only gave me 15. I need more than that because my bills were 80,000. And guess what? They'll process it like a claim. And you send all your bills to them and they will process it and give you more money if you pass muster. You know, you got to jump through the hoops. It's insurance. But that is something you need to keep and you need to make sure it's on every bit of coverage that you have because so many people don't have enough insurance.
So there are still people without insurance driving around in California?
Absolutely. There are. And one of the things the insurance companies are worried about actually is that this increase is going to cause more people to go bare.
which is not good for anybody, is it?
No, and that's why you have to make sure you get your UM and UIM coverage and understand what you're signing.
Okay.
All right.
That's good. That's good information to have. So get insurance, everybody. Come on. Quit slacking off. You have insurance, right, Michelle?
Yes. And I always tell people my insurance is $150, $300. So it covers, it could cover if I rear end somebody and they get hurt. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to have enough insurance.
We got some other kind of policy that ups it by quite a bit, and it didn't really cost that much to increase it.
That would be an umbrella policy on top of your regular coverage. Yes. Yeah. If you own a house, I always tell people to get an umbrella policy.
Yeah, you don't want to lose the house. You don't want to be living in the car because the car will be crashed. So,
right.
There you go.
Okay. So just be aware. And if you're interested in the vehicle code section, it's 16056.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. We go now to entertainment news.
All right.
Because there are movies coming about in the works. We had Ferrari last year. There's a movie coming out about the Maserati brothers. And another one, I believe, in the works about Bugatti. And I don't know whether that Bugatti one covers all the brothers or just Ettore. Because there were generations of Bugattis, but the Maserati movie they just recently announced, Jessica Alba will star in the movie along with Michael Maroney. Am I saying that right? Michelle Maroney, excuse me. Sorry, Ms.
Maroney. Hey.
Anthony Hopkins and Andy Garcia, they're all going to be in this upcoming Maserati movie. So it's called Maserati The Brothers. So it's about all the brothers, there were several of them, and it's quite an interesting story. You know, they ran out of money and the wealthy benefactor took over and they couldn't raise for 10 years. And there were all kinds of things going on there. So that's coming up. And according to Deadline, the website, Jessica Alba, am I saying her name right?
Alba.
Alba, Jessica Alba will have a pivotal role of Sandra. And I don't know who Sandra was in all of that, but
was she Maroney somebody's wife or something?
I don't know. Maroney has been cast to play Alfieri Maserati, one of the six siblings. Garcia will play Mr. Rossini, a character that described as a central figure in the story. And Anthony Hopkins will portray, quote, an Italian financier who bankrolls the family. So that would be Orsini, I think, if I'm remembering any of this right. Huh. The plot is it follows the three brothers, Alfieri, Ernesto, and Ettore. They are credited with founding the company in 1914 in Bologna. And Alfieri, of course, tragically died at the age of 44 following an accident during a race, the 1927 Messina Cup, when he drove Maserati's first Grand Prix race car. And in 1937, the automaker was purchased by the Orsi family. So it's Orsi, O-R-S-I, is the name of the family, later acquired by the Fiat Group in 1993. So there was a lot going on with that family. And we don't have much information about the Bugatti movie, except to say that I think we're quoting, I think we're also again here quoting Deadline, Bugatti will be a film that honors the passion and innovation that have defined one of the most iconic car manufacturers of all time. That's all I have about it. It will focus on the Italian-French automotive icon Ettore Bugatti, the legendary founder of the Bugatti company, and it is still untitled. I think they could just title it Bugatti, because I think everybody knows what Bugatti is. It's, you know, the company's still around and still making highly sought after cars. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Uh-huh. It will begin, but the Bugatti movie will begin filming next year around France and Italy, but we don't have anything about anything more about the Bugatti movie. So looking forward to those two things. Let's hope that they tell a story, unlike the Ferrari movie, which just was a slave to historical accuracy at the expense of a story. There was nobody in there that you wanted to root for. So,
well, Ford versus Ferrari though was excellent and got an Oscar. Yeah,
it was good. Yes, Ford versus Ferrari was very good. I like that. I'm glad. Let's keep making car movies. Car movies are fun.
Please, yes. Yeah. And I think they are making a Cars 3.
Well, they've done four cars. Oh wait, no, wait. Three Cars movie.
Have they Cars 3
they've
already?
Done three. Yeah.
So we need Cars 4.
And every time I see East Bay Jay, the guy from Pixar, I say, "Hey, you're gonna do another?" He says, "If I knew, I couldn't tell you, and I don't know," or something like. He says something that makes it seem like nothing's in the works.
Right. Yeah.
But that was a good example of the very first one had a story, you know, and at Pixar on the wall, they have a thing that says story is king. And that's so important to a movie. It's more important than the historical accuracy. Don't worry about the guys on the internet who are going to be saying, "Oh, the Bugatti Type 35 didn't have that shifter knob until the following." Who cares?
Who cares?
Tell me a story that draws me in. And
yes.
Yeah. So anyway, we got that to look forward to. What else? Well, we're out of news time.
We are. So we're going to do reviews.
Let's see. What should we start with? Which of these do we want to do first, Michelle? How about the Mercedes?
Hey, yes. What you got, Mark, on a Mercedes?
Okay. Everybody on the planet, every car maker on the planet is making crossover utility vehicles. Some of them are hybrids, and this new one is a plug-in hybrid. I'm talking about the 2025 Mercedes-Benz GLC 350e. Now, it's supposed to have a 54-mile range on all electric. I drove it from my house to LAX and back just on electricity. At the very end, I think the engine kicked in. So it is possible that that range is not insane, not absurd. It's a perfectly practical plug-in hybrid crossover SUV. When you add the good thing about this, especially one with 54 miles of range, is that you can essentially, for almost all your needs, you can have an electric vehicle. Of course, you're also lugging around a gasoline engine and a gas tank and all those peripheral items that are required for that. But, you know, for some people who are afraid to make the leap into pure electric, plug-in hybrid is actually the thing that you want. Now, the pricing on this starts at $61,000. And the window sticker on my car was $75,000. Now, that's a 20 grand increase over the price of the non-plug-in base model GLC 300 4MATIC. But, you know, I drove this around for, I don't know, I guess a week, and I was quite happy with it. Some of these cars, you think, I could get used to this. I would be perfectly happy having this as my only means of transportation. And that was certainly a feeling that I got with this. It has the powertrain. It starts out with a 2-liter 4-cylinder gasoline engine. That alone makes 201 horsepower, and together with the 134 horsepower from the, I love this description of the electric motor. It's a permanently excited electric synchronous motor. So it's always happy to see you,
like
a dachshund under the hood or something. Put those two powertrain items together and you get a combined system output of 313 horsepower and 406 pound-feet of torque. That's pretty good, 406 pound-feet in, you know, what is essentially a C-Class. So that'll get you going. And I think this could, like I said, this could work for the suburban house husband who would enjoy the Kraft's commodious grocery room in the back and luxurious seating for five people. Not to mention its 15-speaker Burmester audio system. That's another word I don't know how to pronounce. But if I had the money, for sure, I would go into it. Did you ever have a crossover in your long and illustrious car life, Michelle?
Oh, would a Lexus RX 350 be
that
considered
is the
a crossover?
quintessential crossover
Then I can say yes.
How long did you have that one?
Oh, 10 years. We had it a long time.
It's a very, and they're perfectly practical cars, right?
Oh, for sure. Totally reliable. I mean, this was when I, both me and the ex had to go to court. You know, we're both lawyers, and in those days you had to go to court. We had to have something reliable, good on gas, and we had a kiddo. So, and her friends and all her crap.
That's right.
So, you know, you got to haul, not just, even if you only have one kid, you end up carpooling and you end up taking them to Anime Expo and Comic Con and all these other places with stuff. So you have to have cargo room.
Yeah.
And it served all those purposes.
That is for sure why these things are the, by far, the most popular vehicle made in the world is a crossover utility vehicle. So if you have this much coin, and it ain't cheap, like I said, the one that I had was $75,000 or so. Pricing starts at $61,000. So if you have that much money, I don't think you'll be disappointed with this. And you have a Mercedes. A lot of people, you know, like having what they perceive as the prestige of a Mercedes. So
yes,
another inch. Yeah.
I was just going to say, this would probably be a really good vehicle to lease. And I don't know, they don't always tell us when we test drive cars, if it's available, you know, what the financing arrangements are that are available, but you know, try a PHEV and see if it works for you. And if you like it, you can always buy it at the end. And if you don't, you take it back and you can try something else.
That's right. You can turn it in for a Mercedes GT or something.
Yeah.
GTR.
I think PHEVs are really, really smart in this environment. It's a smart thing to either try out, buy, or lease.
They replaced the minivan of the previous generation families. And that minivan was a replacement for the station wagon of the generation before that. And before that, we were all walking. So,
I was riding a bike.
One thing that was interesting about this GLCE plug-in hybrid Mercedes was the Distronic Plus with automatic lane change. It took some getting used to, and at first it was a bit disconcerting because it has a bunch of sensors on it that allow you to, you set on the cruise control and you're in your lane and you're just driving along and it sees a car up in front of it. So it slows, it doesn't just slow down for the car. Most of the time, these systems just slow down for the car in front of you and you're just sitting there tailgating along behind it. But this thing with automatic lane change, it checks to see if the lane next to you is clear and it steers itself and you into that lane, steers around the car in front of you, and then back into the lane you were in. And boy, that's autonomy.
Yes.
So get ready for that if you buy one of these things. So that was fun. That was never a dull moment from Mercedes. So we must thank Mercedes for the loan of that vehicle. And we'll go on. We're going to head down the coast a little bit. I was down in your neck of the woods, Michelle. I got a special visa that allowed me into Orange County.
Were you a good boy?
I did not get arrested. They did not find out I was Irish or how little money I make or anything. I just sailed through. I was down there to drive the Everati Porsche. Now, have you heard of Everati, Michelle?
I haven't. What is that?
It is an electric Porsche. So it's as it sounds, they replace a Porsche's flat six with replace the air-cooled flat six. It is the last generation of air-cooled Porsches. These are the cars that they work on. Mm-hmm. And Everati does this quite well, I gotta say. I'm messing with my computer right now.
I was going to ask what model Porsche it was, the 911 or?
Yeah,
or
the 911.
Oh, okay.
And it looks quite fetching. It's quite an impressive, and it depends how you get these things set up. But, you know, you can easily spend, well, you're well into the six figures on these things. And you can, I don't want to quote a price because it's less than 500,000, say, but it's up around there. It depends how you get yours set up. But they're calling it the 911 Signature Wide Body Porsche. And gets to 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. It has 500 horsepower. And it has a range of, they say here, up to 200 miles. I might not have been getting quite that on the, I drove it for about 2 hours down in Orange County. I went past Cook's Corner and up to O'Neill Regional Park, because that, apart from Ortega Highway, that is the only section of Orange County that I know that has a curve in it. So, and I had the owner of the company in the passenger seat, so it's not like I was going to be like really thrashing on it. I was quite happy with it. I thought the fit and finish on this thing was exquisite. It was perfect. It was flawless, I would say, on this Evirati Porsche 911. As you know, the first 911 was introduced in 1964, but it has undergone continuous evolution while retaining the same 2+2 seating rear engine configuration. The 964 generation, which is the last of the air-cooled 911s, it came onto the market in 1989, and that is the one that they use, as I said, for this. And this is available from Evirati in coupe, targa, and cabriolet body designs. And the owners, they list owners, well, past owners of 911s. They just kind of funny in their marketing stuff. They say Steve McQueen, Bill Gates, David Beckham, Rihanna, and Tom Cruise. But that's just like, yes, they have all owned 911s at some time or another. They're not listing them obviously as clients of their own, because they're not all still with us.
Right. They forgot Adam Levine. They forgot Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I can go on.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
So yeah, 0 to 60 sub 4 seconds, 500 horsepower, 200 mile range. It's a battery pack is 62 kilowatt hours. So 200 mile range from that might be a little bit optimistic. I'm not sure, but I did not myself do a, you know, I just had it for 2 hours and we just went up and back. We went 50 miles and I think it took about half of the, charge. And so extrapolating that, you'd get 100 miles range. But, you know, if you drove it very gingerly at 55 miles an hour, maybe that's how you're getting up to the 200 miles. But it was, if you have this kind of money, it was fun. Yes, Michelle.
What kind of battery is it?
This is a good question.
Lithium ion or something different?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And how about their website?
The website is very easy, Evirati.com. And there are two R's in that. So Evirati.com. And that website is kind of set up for the, they're headquartered in England, in the UK, and I believe in Surrey. And that, so the website gives the prices, you know, in pounds, 290,000 pounds. So what is that? That's a little over, that's what, like $350,000 or something.
Roughly.
Like that.
Yes.
Roughly. Roughly. So,
well, jolly good.
Jolly good. So if you have that kind of money, come and take us out to lunch.
Yeah. And at the Porsche Experience Center, and then we can watch you go all around in your Evirati Porsche. Yeah. 911 or 960, whatever.
They're also working on a GT40 conversion and the Mercedes 280 SL. Remember that one from a couple generations ago?
Just a few.
More than a few.
So they like to work on classics.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's pretty good taste. And you think about the kind of person who has that kind of money to spend on a car. Mm-hmm. That's probably something that they enjoy, that they like. So
I wonder if they would do something like, if you had an old Jag, you know, that you wanted.
Yeah, I don't think that they're branching out, because I think they want to make sure that they get these things right. And if you just start taking anything, then you've got to figure out a way how to mount everything. Mm-hmm. It's I think the way they're doing this, rolling out these three models to begin with,
the In-N-Out business model. Just keep it simple.
Is that the In-N-Out burger business model?
Yes.
I've never really warmed to In-N-Out. I don't know. Is that blasphemous?
Yes.
Because they do sponsor drag racing in America, in Pomona.
In Pomona.
We should support them.
Yes, we should.
So you're supporting them. You're doing your part. I just don't get it. I mean, they toast the buns. I like that. But the actual meat, the beef, is overcooked, in my humble opinion. And the French fries, I hate to say this, Michelle is dying on the other side of the microphone.
I'm having a heart attack.
Right. Yeah, you'll have a heart attack if you keep eating there. The French fries are indiscernible from the little cardboard thing that they're served in. Okay, I've said it. But we appreciate their support of racing in Southern California.
And they do that in a big way. Big way.
They do. Yeah. And then
the founder was a drag racer who,
right.
So,
and the current leader of the company, she drag raced, she raced what, in pro stock or something crazy?
Yeah. She's Lindsay Snyder. She's an actual drag racer.
She's the real deal.
Her car is called the Flying Dutchman.
There you go.
Well, so, she gets out there. She will be there next
appreciate
weekend.
She will. Okay. Get an autograph. Maybe they'll have one of those. I don't want to say that they'll have one of their truck, food trucks there, because then everybody's going to go, well, where's the food truck? I'm just saying, maybe. Wouldn't it be nice? How about that? I rode around with the founder of Everati, Justin Lunny, a perfectly lovely English gentleman. We had a great time and drove around. All over Orange County and didn't get arrested. He says, what does he say here? This is both a sign of our rapidly growing presence in markets around the globe, especially North America, and a representation of the shifting paradigm in car ownership for a conscious, progressive, and responsible generation. So we applaud him.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got to go down there and take a spin.
Well, we got 1 minute to go. So, Michelle, tell us, tell everybody about our website.
Well,
our website. It's not our website. It's the internet.
It's our Facebook page. We have one. Do not be fooled by imitators. It's The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM. And give us a like and a follow.
Okay. And we'll have some pictures. Maybe we'll send some pictures of SEMA and maybe this Everati.
Yeah.
I'll send you some of those.
Right.
And remember to do stick around, because we've got Bill Garner coming up with Rhapsody in Black. Great music that you never knew you liked. Listen in, say hi to Bill. So we'll see you next week here on The Car Show.
This is Nick, host of Bike Talk Online at KPFK since 2008. I used to have a car. But you don't need a car to get around LA. And we talk about that every episode.
Just do it!
I donated my car to KPFK, called 877-KPFK-AUTO. They took it away. Tax deduction. Anyone can have their car taken away. Cars, boats, motorcycles, any fossil fuel vehicle. Leaf blowers, not a vehicle. Call 877-KPFK-AUTO, donate your car to KPFK, help the station, and commute by bike. There's no traffic on a bike. Africa, yeah.
Jay Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro.